Amanda, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us on the show this morning. So, first of all, how are the protesters' attitudes surrounding the global solidarity starting to change?
Around global solidarity, or you mean in Hong Kong?
Yeah, within Hong Kong and then on a global scale as well.
Okay, sure. So, look, I think it's difficult, right? So, when 2 million people went to the streets on June the 16th, I think the whole world turned into Hong Kong. And then over the following 17 weeks, there's been incredible levels of innovation in protest tactics. People have occupied airports. I was at a protest in the Outer Territories in the middle of July. Like, there's been a lot of interesting innovation. And that's kept the issue of Hong Kong on the television screens of everyone around the world. But it's self-evident that in the last month, as the protests have become very similar, but also a little bit more violent, that there has been somewhat a decline in global interest up until yesterday, and when it all came back onto the screens again with the shooting of a protester.
Mm. And do you think that there's been any attitude change within the police and government toward the protests yet?
Well, inside the Hong Kong government?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So inside the Hong Kong government, there was a decision, you know, like 3rd or 4th of September for Carrie Lam, after she talked to Beijing, to release one of the five demands, which was to get rid of the thing that initially sparked the protest, the extradition bill. On the streets of Hong Kong, there's an absolute commitment that it's five demands, not one less. It's not a log of claims. It's not like they're seeking to have some of them. They're wanting all of them. That's a compromised position. Inside the government, there is some interest in having an independent commission into police behaviour, which I think is interesting. And there's been some pressure on Carrie Lam from other pro-Beijing members of the Legislative Council over there to push on that. But aside from that particular issue, there's not any movement. And that creates a huge dilemma for the protesters, because you've got this situation where you've got mass support. You know, Carrie Lam's popularity level at last tested was like 19%. This woman is not popular. And if she was elected by the people, she would be removed. But she's not elected by the people, which is the main thing that people are complaining about. But the issue is that what do you do in a situation where your opponent has all the power, fundamentally, and is not listening to you? And that's where we're going to have to see some interesting innovation from the protesters if this is going to live long over a series of months, which it's going to need to.
Mm. And media coverage of these protests have often focused on the efforts of younger people. Are the older Hong Kong residents getting involved in the protests as well?
Yeah, they are. And even though, you know, like, I think some of the older people in Hong Kong, some of the people who I interviewed in July, like Lee Chuck Yun, who was actually leading one of the protests yesterday, I think some of them are a little uncomfortable at some of the forms of violence. None of them say so publicly, because they know to publicly criticise each other is to divide the movement, and that is what happened during the Umbrella Movement in 2014, and so they're absolutely committed to not doing that this time. I think there's a lot of elder support. Like, for instance, so yesterday, a whole bunch of older Democrats took an incredibly risky decision to publicly, no face masks, lead a demonstration that had been banned by the police.
And what's the significance of them not wearing face masks?
Well, they could be arrested. So this is why everyone wears face masks. Is during Umbrella in 2014, every single visible political leader spent time in jail. Like,
wow.
that's the stakes for having a political protest in Hong Kong. So instead, this time, in preparation, this was discussed ages ago, in preparation for the June 12th rally, which was the first mass demonstration against the extradition bill, so that was in on June 12th, they discussed online on this Reddit forum that's all incredibly sophisticated and should be implemented in every country, because it's a really interesting way to be able to make decisions of the protest movement. They discussed and decided that people would go masked to hide their identity, and also prepared to be able to resist tear gas, because they expected tear gas to be used. And they were right, stayed on the streets. But this idea of keeping your identity hidden, you know, newspapers like the New York Times, bless their hearts, have called it leaderless. There's no such thing as a leaderless social movement. Like, social movements require leadership. That's how they work. But there's not identifiable leaders. So they can't be identified by the police as easily as they would if they had no face masks. And so jail and police retribution are harder.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually watching a PBS report into what's been happening over in Hong Kong. And some of the people they interviewed said that a lot of them wear face masks because of the AI technology surrounding Hong Kong. What's your kind of response to that? Do you think that's true, or do you think that
the... Yeah, absolutely. Like the smart poles. And I mean, look at what's going on in China. They use face recognition technology in supermarkets. Like, you know, we think Hong Kong is less developed, you know, that it's not adopting the same. They're all part of the People's Republic of China. You know, of course, I would suggest that Hong Kong is the testing ground for some of this technology. And people are terrified at what is being used. And we still don't know if people are actually that safe. Most people online are planning these protests on Telegram lists and on the Reddit site in order, like, an anonymous identikit, but who knows? Like, you know, people can still be found and tracked down digitally, and it would be interesting to see what happens. I mean, not interesting, it would be disturbing to see what happens over the next year if, for instance, the protests do move into a new phase and there's a different form of political action undertaken in Hong Kong, and the police, who are currently complaining of being overrun and exhausted, you know, poor things, shooting people, that they move into a different phase of arresting protesters, how much digital data they have gathered on people's identity. It'll be interesting to see that.
Amanda, we're going to leave it there, but thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us about this morning.
Pleasure. Always interested in talking about Hong Kong.
That was amazing.